平安 ，Peace to you all。
今天要分享就是刚刚我们读过的约拿书的第三章。
We'll be sharing the chapter 3 we just read。
那么题目是真的吗？
The topic is that really？
我在前两次分享了约拿书的一章还有二章。
Previously, I shared with you chapter 1 and 2.
有提到过呢，约拿书记载了三个角色和神之间的互动。
Share with you the three characters and the interaction among them.
那么还记得是哪三个角色吗？
Do you remember who are the three characters we mentioned?
一个是约拿。
First, of course, is Jonah.
他代表的就是犹太人。
He representing the Jews at the time.
那么还有约拿同船的人。
And also the people are on the same boat with Jonah.
他们是不认识神的外邦人。
They were Gentiles who do not know God.
但是他们对约拿对于犹太人呢没有什么敌意。
But they also have no hostility toward Jews.
然后再来第三个就是尼尼微人。
And thirdly, those are the Ninevites.
这是当时以色列北国的头号敌人。
They are the enemies of the number one enemies from the north in the eyes of Jews.
而且是挺残暴的。
And they are actually quite cruel.
但是他们这三种人呢，他们都因为呢谦卑求告神，逃过了致命的灾难。
But all three people they have escaped the God's wrath because they cry out to God.
那么约拿书第一章说了是约拿啊，还有的同船的人呢，他们原来不认识耶和华。
So chapter 1, it talks about the people who are on the same boat with Jonah. They do not know God.
他们会这样谦卑地求告耶和华呢，是因为他们面对了要沉船的大难。
They are willing to cry out to God. It's because they are facing the ship is about to sink.
然后呢，他们得救。
And they were saved.
再来就是约拿呢，他为了逃避神的差派呢，结果呢，陷入一个绝境。
And then, Jonah facing the end of his life, so he also cried out to God.
那么按照圣经的记载呢，他在鱼肚子里祷告。
So according to the Bible, he prayed to God in the belly of the big fish.
那他不放弃神，紧紧的抓住神的应许，求告呢，也得到了拯救。
So he seized upon the promise of God, and he was also saved.
那么今天我们要看第三章，就轮到尼尼微人了。
Now it comes to chapter 3, it's talking about the Ninevites.
这里说的就是他们如何避免了神的审判。
It's talking about how they avoid the judgment of God.
约拿书第三章一共有十节经文。
There are ten verses in chapter 3.
那么第一节到第四节呢？我们请看一下啊。
So from verse 1 to verse 4.
神再次吩咐约拿呢去尼尼微。
It's God that told Jonah again to go to Nineveh.
然后第五到第九节。
And from verse 5 through 9.
是尼尼微人对约拿宣告的反应。
It's about Ninevites' reaction to that proclamation.
然后第十节最后一节是神对尼尼微人的回应。
And verse 10 is God's response to the Ninevites.
好，第五到第九节，那当然这个经文是第三章的重点。
Of course, the middle part of verse 5 through 9 is the key to the whole passage.
而且是非常离奇。
And it is actually quite odd.
因为这里所记载的是一个不可思议的事件。
And it is something is very unusual.
拜众多偶像、假神又残暴的尼尼微人。
The cruel Ninevites who worship many false gods.
你能不能想象他们会容许一个希伯来人在他们的城里面？
Can you imagine they will allow or tolerate a Jew who will be in their city?
不说一些好听的话啊，竟然在宣告说这个城要倾覆了。
And this Jew would not say anything good about them, but to proclaim a destruction of that city.
而且竟然这个尼尼微人还都相信这个宣告。
And even more strange is that the Ninevites even believed him.
看起来呢，百姓们好像也没有请示政府啊。
So the Ninevites seems like they didn't really ask the permission from the authorities.
就自行宣告禁食呢，还穿麻衣。
And they just do it on their own and put on the sackcloth.
最后连尼尼微王啊，竟然也加入了这个可以说是史无前例的全民运动啊。
And later, even the king joined this probably historical event that joined all the people to have the same to join this movement.
不仅神要禁食，连畜生都得禁食。
Not only the king needs to fast, but also all the animals has to fast.
牲畜还得披麻衣。
And all the animals has put on the sackcloth too.
水都不让喝。
And they are not allowed to even drink.
我们今天呢，因为有耶稣基督的启示教导。
Because we have the teaching from Jesus Christ.
所以我们这个观念里的神是一个乐于赦免悔改的人。
So we see that God is a God who is willing to forgive and to save.
那如果有人愿意这样悔改。
If there's someone who is willing to repent and to repent like this,
那神应该是很高兴赦免他们。
So God ought to be very happy to forgive them.
可是这里记载的是在3000年前一个不认识神的民族。
But here we're talking about a people that is about 3,000 years ago that who do not know God.
他们拜偶像。
They worship false idols.
和神的选民以色列人为敌。
And they are enemies of the God's chosen people, Jews.
那么他们居然会能够向神表现出这种空前的悔改。
But they were are willing to repent toward to God and show this unprecedented behavior.
这种悔改的精神，那比以色列人可是强多了。
Their repentance is much better than the Israelites.
所以仔细想想，会不会觉得好像不太可能嘛？
It's almost like if you think about it, it's almost like impossible.
尼尼微人怎么可能那样悔改呢
？How can Ninevites repent like this?
那么圣经没有任何说明。
There's no explanation given by the Bible.
所以呢，对于这样子的一个这个就是这五节经文呐、啊，的基本上就是两极化的看法。
So for those these passages there are two extreme opinions or about the passage.
这两种看法没有什么对话的空间。
There can be no the basis for that dialogue between these two.
不过有个同样的特点。
But they all have the same characteristic.
就是不需要去伤脑筋去研究了解这个离奇的事件。
That is, they don't need to worry about this to know the details about this strange event.
第一种就是传统式的解释。
So the first is the traditional interpretation.
圣经既然如此记载。
Since the Bible said so.
我们就应该如此相信。
That we just believe as it is.
不管它是什么原因。
We don't care about what might be the cause or reason.
尼尼微人就应该是那样悔改了。
And the Ninevites had to repent as described.
也得到了神的赦免。
And they also received the forgiveness from God.
传统解经书多半就是用类似这种说法。
So the traditional commentary take this view.
然后把这五节经文就轻轻的带过去了。
So they basically gloss over these five verses.
那么解经呢，就在这个基础上。
So based on this interpretation,
强调要效法尼尼微人的悔改精神。
So the emphasis they would say is to model or to follow the example of Ninevites.
这种解释呢，实在是不能算是解经啊。
So this can be hardly called interpretation.
基本上就是用圣经的权威性压住圣经中的难题。
So basically it's using the authority of Bible just to suppress any question about the difficult part of the Bible.
那么另一个看法的思维是完全颠倒过来的。
So the other opinion is just the opposite.
就是用这样子的问题来质疑圣经的权威性。
They use this issue to question the authority of Bible.
所以这两种看法没什么对话空间。
So there's no foundational basis for the dialogue between these two views.
那么质疑圣经的权威性的理由很简单。
So the reason to question the authority of Bible, the underlying reason is quite simple.
这五节经文所记载有几十万人的悔改的彻底跟规模，在圣经中只有这个例子。
Because this is a very single event that has like a tens of thousands of people repent all at the same time. This is only record in the Bible.
而在历史上也没有类似的事件。
And there's no record in the history that ever since happen like this.
然后这边也不解释任何的来龙去脉。
And there's no reason or what might be the cause of this. There's no given explanation.
所以有一个讽刺的说法。
So there is some people ridicule this passage.
就比起尼尼微人这种悔改的记载呢。
So comparing to this repentance of Ninevites,
那个约拿在大鱼肚子里面的那个经历啊的可信度还比较高。
They said the prayer in the belly of the big fish of Jonah is even more believable.
那么相对于传统的看法呢？
So comparing to this traditional, comparing to the traditional understanding,
那这样的看法通常就被视为什么呢？自由派或者是新派。
So the people holding the second view is considered to be liberal or the new or liberal view.
我们读圣经啊，需要有好奇心啊。
But when we read Bible, we need to have that kind. We need to have some kind of curiosity.
我们愿意去伤脑筋啊，要深入了解呢，才能够看到一些不明显的信息。
So we need to spend our time and try to study, so we can see the subtle message embedded in the passage.
所以我们现在先来看看经文呢，来看是怎么回事啊。
So let's read the passage and see what's going on there.
三章的一到四节呢，我们先比较一下三章的一节跟一到一，三章一节和一章一节啊。
So let's first try to compare chapter 3 verse 1 versus chapter 1 verse 1.
三章一节有没就是一章一节上面有这个亚米泰的儿子，而三章一节呢是在后面加了个第二次啊。
So comparing this to the first verse of chapter 1, verse 1, it says Jonah, son of Amittai. And chapter 3, verse 1, it has something slightly different, saying that the word of Lord came to Jonah a second time is a new.
一章一节呢是约拿书第一次提到约拿。
So chapter 1 verse 1 is the first time the book mentioned the name of Jonah.
那么所以要加上他父亲的名字。
So it adds on to his father's name.
因为叫约拿的人挺多的。
Because many people are named Jonah.
到底是在讲哪个约拿？
So which Jonah are you talking about?
所以这里讲的就是那位在记载在列王记下14章25节那个被称为神仆人的约拿。
So it is talking about that the servant of God recorded in Second King.
Yeah, 14:25.
Chapter 14, verse 25.
Yeah. 那么三章一节就不需要再重复这个，只要说约拿的名字。
So that's why when it comes to the chapter 3, verse 1, there's no need to mention his father.
不过呢，强调这是第二次神吩咐他去尼尼微。
But it put an emphasis on that this is the second time God want Jonah to go to Nineveh.
也就是说呢，约拿没有因为没有顺从神的安排。
That is indication that Jonah did not really follow God's instruction.
经过了前两章所记载的一番折腾之后啊。So, 回到了原点。
So after the struggles in the first two chapters, everything go back to the square one.
然后呢，神还是给他同样的安排。
And God has given him basically the same instruction.
信主有一阵子之后啊。
So after you became a Christian for a while.
对于有这样子的经验呢，我们也许也不会太陌生。
You probably are familiar with this type of experience.
就是原来神给我们的心意我们没有顺从，然后到经过一番折腾以后呢，又回到了原点神还是给我们同样的安排。
So you probably didn't want to follow God's guidance, but then after your own struggle, you back to the initial place, and then you have to do it again.
三章二节中间就说那个宣告那个字呢，比较接近原文的翻译应该是呼喊。
So the proclamation in 3:2, probably a closer translation is to cry out.
那么三章二节就讲说起来然后往尼尼微大城去然后呼喊， 那这里面都加了惊叹号，那主要是因为要表现出三个动词啊，起来、去、呼喊，都是命令式的语气。
So, there are in chapter 3, verse 2, there are three verbs in there. Basically, it's a very strong arise, go, and cry out. They are all in the imperative mood.
那么三章二节跟一章二节的原文的前半是完全一样，差别在后半节。
So the differences are in 3-2 verses chapter 1-2. The only differences is on the second half of that verse.
因为三章二节后面是说那个宣告就是我对你说的，而一章二节后面是说因为他们的恶达到我面前。
So in chapter 3, verse 2, it says, second half, it says, the proclamation that is a proclamation that I give you. And verse 1, chapter 1, verse 2 is that their evil has come up before me.
我奇怪的是这两节都没有说神要约拿向尼尼微的居民呼喊什么。
Strangely enough, both verses didn't really say what's the actual content of that proclamation should be.
一章二节只说要他去呼喊。
The chapter 1 verse 2 only said that you go and proclaim.
三章二节说神要约拿去呼喊神告诉他的那个宣告，但是又没有说宣告的内容。
So, chapter 3 verse 2, again, he says, just to go proclaim whatever God tells you, but it didn't really say what's that message is.
那么三章三节那约拿就按照耶和华的话起来往尼尼微去、啊、
So verse 3 you see that Jonah will follow the word of Lord and to go to Nineveh、
啊、那么后面还有一句话说这尼尼微是个极大的城有三日的路程
And following then it will say that the Nineveh is an extremely great city is a visit of 3-day walk、
啊起来和去呢是这两个动词它的表达是按照顺序完成的动作。
So the tense in that verb arose and went to, they are describing sequential actions.
那么约拿这一次呢很顺服神。
So this time Jonah followed and obeyed the God's commandment.
那一个命令一个动作。
Just one command, one action.
神叫他起来去往尼尼微去，他就起来往尼尼微去。
So God asked him to rise and go, and he did exactly the as told.
那你知道他这一趟去有多辛苦吗？
Do you know how hard that is for this trip?
从地图上看啊，尼尼微呢在内陆。
So Nineveh is is inland.
那么约拿是以色列北国的先知。
Jonah is a prophet of Northern Kingdom.
那么我们假设他是从北国的京城撒玛利亚出发的话。
Just assuming he's starting from the capital of this Northern Kingdom's Samaria.
那么到这个尼尼微呢的直线距离啊，有大概是400英里。
So if you take a straight line from there to Nineveh, it's about 400 miles.
什么样的概念？
So what kind of distance is that?
差不多就是 Santa Barbara 到 Las Vegas 吧。
So basically it's from Santa Barbara to Las Vegas.
那么这中间有山地、平原、旷野、沙漠。
So there will be mountains, valleys, deserts, and a lot of different things.
那么如果约拿完全靠两条腿。
So if just by walking,
他起码要走两周吧。
He probably need to take 2 weeks.
那我们得不难想象。
So it's not hard for us to imagine.
他快要走到之前。
Just right before he reached Nineveh.
越接近越发现呢，尼尼微呢果然名不虚传。
The closer he gets, the more he can believe what been said about Nineveh.
的确是一座大城。
It is indeed a great city.
如果你从来没去过 Las Vegas,
so if you have never been to Las Vegas,
你知道你翻过那个山头了以后呢？
So after you pass through that hill,
那么前面一片沙漠的远方就开始出现相当多的灯光。
So far away from a distance between there is a desert, but the, at the edge of the desert, you will see lights starting showing up.
然后呢，车子越开越近的时候，你会发现呢，那个规模是越来越大，
so, 大片。Yeah. When you're getting closer, you will see that the building is getting more and more and bigger and getting bigger and bigger.
然后就会觉得说，嗯，名不虚传，果然是个大城。
So you will see indeed this is a great city.
那么三天的路程。
So it's a 3 days walk.
其实的意思是三天的行走。
It's talking about 3 days of walk.
应该是形容这尼尼微城有多大。
It's talking about the size of the Nineveh.
就是它围绕这个城墙大概一走一圈的话，大概要三天。
It's talking about just walking around the city will be 3 days.
然后三章四节，约拿就走进城了。
So in verse 4, that's when Jonah entered the city.
走了一日。
So after a day of walk,
然后宣告,
and he proclaimed,
再过四十日，尼尼微必倾覆了。
40 days, and the city Nineveh will be overturned.
那么这个中文的走了一日宣告呢？按照这个原文应该是在一天的步行中呼喊。
So if in verse 4, it actually saying that the proclamation is done within the day's walk.
那么英文的翻译就是属于比较按照字面了。
So the English translation is closer to what it's supposed to be.
那么也就是约拿应该是在尼尼微城的大街上呼喊呢，再等四十日，尼尼微必倾覆了。
So it's talking about Jonah is walking around the city of Nineveh and proclaiming that in 40 days the city will be overturned.
我们只能够说这句话呢，大概就是神对他说要去呼喊的宣告。
Maybe you can guess this is a central theme of what God has instructed Jonah to say in his proclamation.
或者说他的宣告就只有这句话被记下来了。
Or maybe among all the proclamations, this is only one sentence being recorded.
那么五到九节
，verse 5 through 9
是尼尼微人对约拿宣告的反应。
And it's a reaction of the Ninevites.
这太神奇了。
It's like miraculous.
那么经文上这看来呢，全城几十万人立刻相信约拿的呼喊。
It's almost like everyone believed in his proclamation immediately.
而且禁食披麻布求告神。
And they fast, they put on the sackcloth and pray to God.
都离开了恶道。
And they stay away from the evil things.
你们传福音和开教会开布道会有没有过这种经验
？Have you ever seen this in your church meeting or evangelistic meeting？
我还没有这种经验。
I haven't seen this like this before。
常常的话还不敢随便跟人家讲说你要倒霉了哈，因为你有罪哈。
Even
谁敢这么讲啊
？Even in the evangelistic meeting, sometimes we hesitate to tell people you are doomed。
你要先请他吃饭，然后好声好气的啊。
You have to first probably invite him, them to a meal and try to say something nice first.
传福音能够那么样顺利成功该有多好啊！
If we can do this every time, as smooth as this, how wonderful it would be for even just.
即使是培灵会也没有见过那样的效果。
Even just for two Christians, the revival meeting to Christians, we have not seen like that before.
我们所习惯的经验和约拿的经验差别太大。
And our typical experience is so far away from the experience of Jonah.
大到我们很难相信那是个真实的历史事件。
So the difference is so great, it's hard for us to believe that's actually happened.
所以常常只能说啊，就凭信心接受这个记载吧。
So we can only say, just let's believe then in faith.
说起来挺讽刺的。
It is pretty ironic, isn't it?
我们呢，开传福音、开布道会啊。
So when we have an evangelistic meeting,
是真诚的希望。人愿意来听也能相信，对吧
？We truly isn't that true that we truly want people to be able to believe.
但是通常从开始看到来听的人数啊，然后在结束时候呼召的结果，我们很难没有相当的失望和无奈。
A lot of times we can have nothing but some disappointment when we see the people who come to the meeting and people who decide to turn to God.
这个约拿宣告神的话
，So when Jonah proclaimed the word of God，
他倒是诚心的希望听他呼喊的尼尼微能够不相信他讲的话。
It's actually Jonah didn't want them to repent。
然而全城的人不仅是相信，还离开了恶行。
But then the whole city not only believed and they also turned away from their evil doing.
我们要是看到这种结果的话，我们会高兴的不知道说什么才好。
And if that's us, we probably will be happy beyond expression any beyond words.
他能够有这样子的成绩，竟然是极度的失望，而且还愤怒。
And if you look at later, he was so disappointed and angry because of people repent.
难道说传福音比较有效的方法是先希望对方不信吗？
Is it are we saying that the more effective way for people for us to do evangelism is to pray that they won't believe?
所以现在让我们来从经文中仔细了解这个事件的记载。
So let's again look at the verse passage.
第五节说，尼尼微人信服神，便宣告禁食。
So verse 5 it says Ninevites believed in God and they believed God.
从最大的到至小的都穿麻衣。
So there are from the greatest to the least put on sackcloth.
那么新译本它的翻译是从大到小都穿上麻衣。
So in the new translation it says from the from the great to the least, it's just like the
actually,
NIV.
That's the issue.
from the great to the least, they all put on the sackcloth.
那么不管是小或者是至小，它的原文是可以指年龄。
So the word great or least, it could in its original language could be referring to age.
Yeah, 但是也可以指地位。
It can also mean.It's a social status.
可是那个大跟最大的那个原文就只能指地位。
But then the great and the greatest can only refer to the social status.
所以这里说从地位最高的到最低的都穿麻衣。
So the interpretation here is actually from the most noble to the least noble. They all put on the sackcloth.
那么表面上看来，约拿在尼尼微城呼喊了一天，全城人都相信神，而且穿上麻衣。
So from the text, it seems to be that after a day of proclamation, the whole city, they put on the sackcloth and believed the message.
然后第六节说，这消息传到尼尼微王的耳中，他就下了宝座，脱下朝服，披上麻衣，坐在会中。
And then following that, verse 6, it says, when the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took up his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth.
那你如果有好奇心的话，你就会发现这里有问题了。
Then if you are curious, you may have some question about this.
尼尼微王这个时候披上麻衣坐在会中，那么第五节中间说的那个最大的是谁？
If this is a time when he put on the cloth, only when it comes to verse 6, then what's the most noble in verse 5?
尼尼微王怎么没有被包括在最大的到至小的里面呢？
So how can the king of Nineveh was not included in verse 5 where it says about the greatest to the least?
因为这个记载不是在当时按照事情发生的次序写下来的。
Because this is not recorded according to the chronological order of how the event rose out.
而是在事后对整个事件的一个回述。
But it's a recollection of that event.
所以第五节应该是对尼尼微这个全城人悔改的整体或者总结式的描述。
So verse 5 should be just a summary of the whole event.
那么第六到第九节是在讲整个过程中的一些重点。
And verse 6 through 9, there are some specific or significant events within that big summary.
如果第五节是出现在第九节之后的话，整个事件的可能性就提高了。
If verse 5 is at the is following the verse 9, the whole of the probability probably is more plausible how things happen that way.
因为尼尼微人对约拿的呼喊，有人相信， 有人存疑的话是合理的。
So it because it is reasonable. There are some believe that in Jonah and some doubt his message.
然后因为国王下令呢，所以呢，全程有整体性的悔改，表面上呢也没有什么不合理。
So after the king repent, and then the whole city followed, which is a more likely how things happen.
不合理的是。
What's not reasonable?
如此巨大尼尼微城的王，他也应该是心高气傲的。他不认识神，又不拜偶像，怎么会突然在神面前如此谦卑下来？
How can this very proud king how can he just suddenly yield himself to God who usually worship those idols?
有没有听过类似这样的解释啊？
Have you heard interpretation like this?
约拿被大鱼吐出来之后呢，那么应该有目击的证人。
So Jonah, when he was spat out by this big fish, there probably some eyewitness.
所以他的声名大噪。
So his reputation reached near and far, far and near.
他全身的皮肤，特别是脸和四肢呢，应该有被大鱼那个胃酸严重的腐蚀的痕迹啊， 三天嘛。
So the Jonah probably is all scarred by this, the acid in the big fish's stomach.
Yeah, 样子必定相当吓人。
So he's probably disfigured and look awful.
因此，尼尼微人一见到他就敬畏三分，也立刻相信他是来传神的话。
So when Ninevites, when they see Jonah, will be afraid of him and believe whatever he said immediately.
那么，如果在今天啊。
If this is what happened today,
真有一条大鱼。
If there is a big fish,
在 Santa Barbara 的海滩吐出一个人。
They spat out someone near Santa Barbara Beach.
他的神志还清醒。
And this person is still alive.
他模但是模样吓人。
But his face is disconfigured.
因为身上皮肤被严重腐蚀了。
Because all his skin probably is been ruined by the acid.
然后呢，他被吐出来的这整个过程呢，在当场有人看见呢，用手机拍照录像，然后送上了 YouTube。
So and this the whole event was recorded in through the smartphone and uploaded to YouTube。
那应该相当轰动。
So it will probably go viral pretty soon。
那么如果没有影像和网络，这样的事件能够传多快多远呢？
So if we don't have such technology, how fast can this news travel?
那么假设200年前。
Let's say just 200 years ago.
有一个在 Santa Barbara 海滩被大鱼吐出来，模样相当可怕的人。
Same story, about someone spat up by the big fish in along the Santa Barbara Beach.
然后呢，大概三四个礼拜之后呢，就在距离大约400英里外的凤凰城呢，它出现了。
Maybe three or four weeks later, he showed up Las Vegas, which is about 400 miles away from Santa Barbara.
那么然后再等40日呢，这个Las Vegas 就要倾覆了。
And he said, in 40 days, Nineveh is about the Las Vegas is about to be overturned.
你觉得听到的人会有什么反应啊？
What do you think that this people's reaction in 200 years ago?
市长会不会重视这个消息呢？
There will be people pay any attention to this proclamation?
而且第六节经文显示啊。
And verse 6, told us,
那时的约拿并不是像一个有名气的人物。
The Jonah is not really famous among Ninevites.
因为呢，尼尼微王呢是听到这个消息的。
So because Ninevites only heard about this news.
那就是说他连约拿的面都没见到。
Probably he didn't even see who Jonah is.
那么他怎么会立刻有如此谦卑的表现呢？
How can he have such a humble reactions to the message.
那么说来说去，这个记载不可能是个历史事件吗？
So can we maybe conclude that this is really not a historical event?
那倒也未必。
That is not really the case.
我们现在回头看第三节的后半。
Let's go back to verse 3, the second half of verse 3.
这尼尼微是极大的城，有三日的路程。
So the Ninevite was a very important city. A visit requires 3 days.
这个是那个他用的是那个 NIV 啊，你用那个是有 应该是可以比较 literal 的 translation 是 exceedingly large city, great city.
Yeah, so the literal translation should probably should say extremely exceedingly large city.
那么前面神两次吩咐约拿去尼尼微大城。
So the first two times when God instructed Jonah to go visit that city.
这里说尼尼微是极大的城。
And here it says this city is an extremely large city.
我们大部分不会去想说这到底有什么那么有什么了不起的差别。
We probably don't really see what's a big difference here.
好像就是在描述约拿亲眼看见的尼尼微城有多巨大。
To us, it seems to just describing the immense size, just the size of the city that.Jonah has seen.
然而极大的那个极字呢却呢很重要。
But actually, the extremely, the word extreme is actually very important.
它的原文在旧约中出现过2604次。
This word actually has appeared in Old Testament about more than 2,000 times, 2,604 times.
那么只有在这里被翻译成极。
Only here it is translated to be extremely.
这个字其实是希伯来文中间有名的 Elohim.
Actually, this word is actually very important. Noticeable in Old Testament, the word Elohim.
那么有2344被翻译成神，指的是三位一体的神，因为它是个复数形式。
So there's about 2,300 times it has been translated into God, which is pointing to the Trinity God because Elohim is in the plural form.
其余的翻译有神明啊。
So they're talking about the other translation may be the name of God.
Minor gods 啊，一个。
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a minor gods.
那么审判官
or sometimes translated to judges,
统治者
or the rulers.
圣经翻译本身就出现就表现出某些观念。
So the translation itself reflects the perceived understanding.
那么这个字在传统译本不被翻译成神显然是有一个看法。
So the traditional translation that this word was not translated to God,It's obviously under priest has a
perceived
conception.
Yeah. 那么在至高至大的神面前，怎么会有大城？而且尼尼微还是个罪恶之城。
How can a great city and a sin city can be before God?
那么在近代呢，强调忠于原文的这个中文新译本，还有英文的一个叫 LITV 这个版本呢，就翻译呢，就是说这个尼尼微在神面前是一座大城。
So the more literal translation in the new translation like LITV, it was say that the Nineveh before God was a great city.
所以这在描述一个什么事情？
So what is it trying to say here?
约拿到了尼尼微。
When Jonah reached Nineveh,
不是他自己到了尼尼微。
It is not that he himself reached Nineveh.
神也在那里。
But God is also there.
约拿进城的时候。
When Jonah entered the city gate,
尼尼微在神的面前。
Nineveh before God.
神在注视着这整座城。
God is watching over it.
所以我们现在可以看到尼尼微在人看来是个大城。
So to people, now we can see Nineveh is a great city.
但是呢神比尼尼微更大。
But God is greater still.
尼尼微人面对的不是神差派来的那个先知约拿。
So what Nineveh are facing is not the prophet that sent by God.
他们面对的是在注视他们的神。
But he is facing the God who sent Jonah.
也就是说
In other words,
尼尼微人经历了一次神特殊的临在。
Nineveh, they have experienced the special presence of God.
那么我们大概都听过神的启示有一般和特殊两种。
So, probably you have heard that the revelation of God has two different kinds. One is a so-called general, revelation, and there is a special revelation.
一般启示表现在于神的创造。
So the general revelation often talking about the creation of God.
是一些自然界的一些现象。
So it is the things we observe in nature.
特殊的启示是彰显于神对人类的救赎。
So the special revelation is focusing on the salvation of God.
神灵在也有一般和特殊。
So even the divine presence has probably general and versus special.
一般的灵在是指神无所不在的。
So the divine presence is talking about God is an omnipresent God.
那么特殊的灵在是只在某个时间和地点，在场的人能感受到神在其中。
So the special divine presence is about some God in a particular time that fall upon people they can experience the presence of God.
神特殊的临在会使人产生极大的敬畏。
So when that happened, people will have that great revere. The feeling of the reverence before God.
不由自主的谦卑下来求告神。
They can do nothing but humble themselves and pray to God.
会发现自己渺小不配。
And they will realize how small and unworthy they are.
那么旧约历代志记载了以色列人在献圣殿的典礼中有经历了神特殊的临在。
So in the book of Chronicles, it records an event when they offering the temple, they experience such a special divine presence.
那么新约使徒行传也记载了人因为圣灵的工作经历了神的特殊临在。
So in New Testament, it also records people when because of the work of Holy Spirit, they experienced the presence of God.
那么在那些记载中有提到了一些很特别的现象，包括了有荣光，还有地的震动。
So in those events, it says they experience the glory or the earth shaking feeling of the world.
但是神特殊的临在呢，不一定必须要有某些外在的现象。
But God's special divine presence.Requires no any obvious outward phenomena.
重要的是在场的人会产生了属灵的觉醒。
What's important is the people under such influence will have this spiritual awakening.
那么使得在场的人能够表现出极大的属灵的渴慕，而不住的谦卑求告神。
So people in that event.Will have that great desire to pray to God
pray to God.
Will have that humility to open up to God and pray to God.
然后呢，就感染到其他的人。
And then other people will share the same feeling.
这不是能够靠人营造出来的气氛。而且常常是在没有什么迹象预警的情况下会发生。
It is not something you can manufacture by other people, and often it happens without a warning.
那美国有个肯德基州啊。
So there's a United States, there's a state called Kentucky.
那么呢，它的面积大概差不多就像中国的浙江省。
So it's about the size of a province, 浙江。
那么人口大概只有400万。
It's about probably 4 million.
如果不是因为肯德基炸鸡的话，大概它也不会有什么名气啊。
We probably know this state only because of we heard about Kentucky Fried Chicken.
但是呢，对于美国的神学院来说呢。它的中部有个小城叫 Wilmore 那里啊，有一个很特别的神学院。
To Christian seminaries, there's a very special seminary in the middle of that Kentucky called Wilmore.
有125年历史的叫 Asbury 这个神学院。
The name of the seminary is called Asbury has 125 years of history.
那么是一个传统的福音派神学院。
It is a traditional evangelical seminar.
学生不到2000人。
It's only about roughly less than 2,000 students.
每周有两次是全校的师生要在校园的那个教堂里面聚会崇拜。
So twice a week they're gonna have worship on campus together.
那么在1970年2月3日呢，校长出差去加拿大。
So 1970, in July, the president was on a business trip.
把校务交给一位院长代理。
So he gave that dean to act upon on behalf of him.
晚上七点钟呢，校长呢回到旅馆，收到了这个院长有留话，说校园出事了，请赶快电话联络。
So 7 o'clock at night, the president on his business trip. Received a phone call from
the dean.
The dean sent a message to the president saying something happened in on campus. You better hurry back.
因为那时候没有手机嘛，
Because they don't have cell phone at the time.
校长第一个反应就是，因为当时呢有在校园里有所谓的叫做校园暴动，反越战的校园暴动。
So the first thing that the president was thinking maybe it's because there was an anti-war movement happened on campus.
Yeah. 那么是不是连这个神学院他的神学院也开始了？
He was wondering whether it is even on this campus, something like that happened.
当时学生闹事的方式就是把一些学校的职员、教授，甚至于连院长呢，都可以把他们关在一座楼里，不让他们回家。
So it happened during that time. Sometimes the student will lock up the faculties in some building and would not let them to go back.
院长呢，一接到校长的电话
，So the president
The dean
once received the message from the president,
说就告诉他说，早上十一点开始的教堂崇拜到现在还没有结束。
The message is that the meeting, the worship, starting from 11 o'clock in the morning hasn't ended yet.
校长说怎么回事呢
？So the president asked, what's going on?
那院长说。聚会开始的时候没有什么不寻常。
So the dean said there's nothing special when it starts.
后来就有一位学生上台做见证。
And then there is a student stood up and sharing his testimony.
然后就不断的有人要上来做见证。
And then many people start following.
然后很多人就自己跑到前台来跪下来不断的认罪。
So there are people start praying for forgiveness, confessing their sins.In front.
然后在场的人就陆续的受到感染啊，来参与求告神。
So the other people shared that feeling and was inspired and also doing the same.
那么几乎所有的人到了晚上都不要离开。
So nobody wants to leave when even the meeting lasts into the evening.
好像担心错过什么。
As if they don't want to miss something.
然后院长说呢，有一个电视台的新闻主播要求来采访。
So, the president said there is the news station want to visit and report this event.
校长说啊，我知道他们过去来采访的时候，对我们的信仰总是摆出一副很轻视、怀疑的态度。
So, the president said, I know those news people. They in the past when they come, they usually look down on this us.
那么这次事情太特别了，还是别让他们来吧。
So he said, this is such a special event. Maybe we should not let them visit us.
院长说呢，我们祷告过呢，也已经同意他们来了。
院长
就是。
So the dean said, we prayed about this and we have already agreed to let them report this.
第二天，那个电视台晚间的新闻一开始。
So the second day evening when the news starts.
那位主播呢？我们看到前面一张，回到前面一张，好吧。
So this news anchor, news reporter,
竟然以很郑重的态度说。
So he in a very serious matter.
我们通常是一只眼睛看电视新闻，另一只眼睛在看报纸。
We often watch news with one eyes and then at the same time reading newspaper with the other.
那个时候还是报纸的时代了。
It was still a age with people reading newspapers.
我相信也有很多太太们呢， 正在同时准备晚餐。
And I believe at the same time, probably the family, the housewife probably are preparing the meal.
我诚恳地请你们暂时放下手中所有的事情。我报新闻34年来，从来没有被如此触动过。
So this anchor said, please put down everything. I have been reporting for 30 years, and I have never been touched by events such as this.
我相信你们也会有同样深刻的感受。
So I think you will have share the same feeling too.
完全没有任何轻视的表现。
He does not have any attitude of despising the event.
那么校长两天后回到校园。
So two days later, when the president came back,
那么教堂里的认罪祷告还在继续。
And this confession is still going on.
那么他一进去就感受到了敬畏还有自己的不配。
So he felt the unworthiness and the reverence when he walked into that meeting.
他立刻就知道在这里做主的是神。
He realized that it is God who is reigning over the meeting.
他这个校长呢，也只能谦卑的求告神。
So even the president has to humble himself and pray to God.
那么整个事件持续了一周。
So the whole thing lasts about a week.
有其他神学院的师生来参加，也受到感染。
So there are other students from other seminaries felt the same.
回到学校也产生了属灵的觉醒。
So they have a great awakening or revival in other school too.
那么有学生见证说呢，过去参与侍奉，甚至于进神学院，其实是为了家庭的背景。
So the people, some seminary students confess that it is because of the family reason that I joined, I come to study come to seminary.
今天才真正经历了耶稣基督。
And on today, I now experience Jesus Christ.
那么校长回想那几天最大的特点是
？So when the president record the most significant things in among those days,
大家都渴望抓住这个属于神的时刻。
They want
其他的事情似乎都不重要。
So everyone want to seize the moment. And other things become so unimportant.
家里不需要做饭，因为大家都不想离开，似乎也不想吃饭。
So there's no need to even have meal because everyone doesn't want to leave that place. And they don't seem to be needing food.
禁食呢是在不知不觉中间发生。
So the fasting happens in happened without any planning.
Yeah. 那么这个有一家报纸的记者来访问。
So there's a newspaper reporter came and visited.
说这个会不会是你们安排的？只是效果超过你们想象的。
They said, is this something you have arranged? It just so happened that the effect is far beyond you originally expected.
校长回答说，我们真没有计划什么。
The president said we.Didn't really plan on this.
我们只知道前一阵子有些学生他们很渴慕在积极祷告呢，然后呢就在这个时候发生了这样的事。
We knew only that there are people, students, who eagerly pray for this, and then this event happened.
这样的效果只有神能产生。
Only God can make this happen.
在我们学校的历史中，我们没有，从来也没有能力能够营造出这种气氛来。
So, in the history of this school, we know that we don't have the ability to manufacture such an event.
其实约拿书的三种人呢，都是因为神特殊的灵在，有了属灵的觉醒。
Actually, in the three kinds of people, Book of Jonah, they have all experienced such things.
然后呢，向神谦卑，求告神蒙恩。
They humble themselves, pray to God, and receive the grace of God.
那么约拿书的前三章让我们看到。
So the first three chapters have revealed to us.
我们要蒙恩呢，必须要先向神谦卑求告他。
To receive the grace of God, we need to humble ourselves and pray to and cry out to Him.
当我们的生活平顺，没有什么大事的时候
，So when everything going well in our life，
我们的求告会流于形式
，Our prayer become routines and become a ritual。
我们对神也只有表面的谦卑
So the humility we have is superficial before God.
我们会发现来聚会参与侍奉 包括有奉献也不能保证和神奇的关系亲密。
So we cannot guarantee, we cannot even guarantee the intimacy with God, with offering, with our service.
你会发现信仰也好，你所参与的这些活动也好，好像还都很带给你的并没有什么特别的一些满足，而且甚至于有一些说不出来的空虚。
So all the things you do, you serve, it will bring you nothing but the emptiness when you're doing it.
这就是我们需要属灵觉醒的时候了。
And if you have such a feeling, that's the time you need this spiritual awakening.
我在三月的时候，二月下旬曾经要23号星期一那一天要出发去中国宣教。
So in February, there's a day I was supposed to go to China for a mission.
但是呢，在那一个之前的礼拜五
，So the Friday before that that mission，
我的妻子呢，因为有一阵子身体不好，做了一些检查，都没什么看出什么东西来。
So my wife had been feel ill, but we couldn't find anything after many exams.
最后医生说，你就在那天上午做一个 CT scan.
So
就是腹腔的 CT scan.
So the doctor said, you should just do the CT scan, which happened to be on that Friday.
看看到底什么问题。
And so you can see what's going on in your stomach.
那么他上午做完了以后，我们下午都不在家。
So after the morning, they did. My wife did the CT scan, and we all went out in the afternoon. We're not home.
我回到家里的时候，她还没回来。
So when I got home, she's still outside.
然后发现 answering machine 就是答录机里面有留一个话。
So the answering machine has a message in it.
是她的医生打来的。
So it's from his doctor.
是医生的办公室打来的。
Actually from the office.
说医生要立刻见她。
So the doctor wants to see her immediately.
然后我一看到这个信息，就想说，这大概不会是什么好事。
So immediately, I think that must not be some most likely a bad news.
上午做了 CT scan， 下午医生就要见你，你说会有什么好事
？So if you did a CT scan in the morning and the doctor wants to see you in the afternoon, what good news can it be？
可是我当我打电话去的时候呢，办公室已经下班了。
But when I called, the office is closed already.
所以不知道是什么事。
So we don't know what happened.
那要怎么办
？So what can we do？
那我当时就开始面对一个大问题。
So I was facing a big issue.
我第一个就是说，这个事情现在先不能告诉我的妻子。
The first thing come to my mind is that I should not tell my wife about this.
因为我告诉她的话呢，她就是这个周末呢在那边，就是在一种困难的情况之下，也不知道是什么问题。
So, because if I told her about this, then she will spend the whole weekend without knowing things, but worrying about.
第二个问题是我礼拜一走不走
？The second question I have is whether I should leave on Monday.
好几个地方都安排好了，我去做培训。
So there's a lot of trainings were already scheduled.
那这样就取消吗？
Should I just cancel the trip?
但如果我不取消的话，我什么时候要让我的妻子知道，她的医生要去见，要她去见面
？If I don't cancel this, when should I tell my wife that the doctor want to see my wife?
那么这种坏消息，我能够让她一个人去面对吗
？How can I just have her to face the bad news by herself?
所以我第一件事情就是先把那个信息洗掉了。
So the first thing I did is just erase that message.
我不要让她听到这个消息。
I don't want her to hear that message.
然后从那一刻开始起，其他的事情我都不想管。
And then after that point on, I was I'm not in mood to do anything.
我只是一想到这个事情的时候，我就跪下来祷告。
Every time when I come think about this, I start kneel down and pray.
到底是怎么回事
what actually happened?
我到底该怎么办
？What should I do?
因为所有原来所做的计划，很可能就是因为这个事情，什么都完了。
So all the things I have planned may have to be given.
我们很可能有些时候会面对一个状况，你所有的计划可能就已经完全不必再管了。
And to you, it may be also true. There's a lot of things you have planned. Will come to a point that you don't you care no more.
她回来以后，我还得装得若无其事。
When my wife came back, I have to pretend that there's nothing happened.
然后她晚上去休息的时候呢，我呢就是没办法睡觉。
So when she went to bed and sleep, I couldn't fall into sleep.
两个人在一起生活这么久了啊，你要让她，你心里有事，要让她觉得你没有事还不容易。
It is really difficult because we are together so long that to pretend and escape his observation, that pretending that nothing happened.
一直到清晨我祷告的时候，然后有一个信息说，你明天打电话要求跟医生说话，搞清楚这件事情，我再做决定。
In the morning prayer, I get this message saying that I should call the doctor again to understand the situation before I make any additional plan. I couldn't let her know that I called the doctor.
所以我在到了上午的时候，看到他在院子里面做事情的时候，我能够看到他在那里，知道他听不到我讲话，我才打电话。
So I watched my wife in the garden and doing things. I make sure that she couldn't hear me before I pick up the phone.
然后我告诉那个接线的人说我的困难。
So I told the operator about the difficulty I had.
他很能同情。
So he was quite sympathetic.
然后找到医生。
And finally, I got to the doctor.
我就立刻问医生说，到底是多坏的消息？我是不是要取消我的 overseas trip?
So I asked him directly, how bad is it? How bad is it? Should I cancel the trip?
医生说，你讲的是哪个病人？
The doctor said, which patient are you talking about?
因为我那时候着急，连名字都没讲。
Because I was so worried in such a hurry, I didn't even tell him who the patient is.
我讲了我太太的名字以后，他说。哦，他好像没有什么问题啊。
So I told him my wife's name. He said she doesn't seem to have any problem.
我说为什么？那为什么这么快就把电话就说要去要见他呢？这很可怕。
So then I said, why do you want to see her immediately?
那么他说，哦，我大概就是办公室的人，只是希望能够赶快看下面到底还有没有什么检查可做。
The patient want to, the office want to find out if there's any follow-up exam we want to do.
然后他说你没有什么问题，你不需要取消你的行程。
So doctor said you don't need to cancel the trip.
那时候我已经放心了，所以也没有那么警觉。
So I wasn't because then I was feel at ease.
然后我讲完电话以后，我太太站在我后面说你在跟谁讲话。
And I didn't realize my wife was standing behind me saying, who are you talking to?
那个时候我才告诉她所有的 story.
And then I told her the whole story.
然后我们一起跪下来祷告感谢。
So we kneel down together and give thanks to God.
因为我发现一件事情。
So one thing I learned from this event.
要去宣教之前。
Before you want to go to mission.
准备了很多的事情。
There are things you have all planned out.
整个人很忙乱。
You are very busy.
祷告流于形式。
Your prayer become a routine.
只有经过了这一次，这就是说，只是求主说不要出差错就好了。
We pray simply everything should go smoothly.
但是神借着这次事情让我知道。
But through this event, God let me know.
当我跟他之间只是形式的时候。
When there is nothing but ritual between between God and us.
就需要有属灵的觉醒。
Then we need this awakening in spirit.
我们都会有需要属灵觉醒的时候。
We all have the need at some point have this spiritual awakening.
神会给我们一个机会。
God will give us such opportunity.
在那种时候我们应该放下所有的事情，只是谦卑地向他求告。
So when that happens, you need to put down everything and do nothing but pray to him.
就会经历一个属灵的复兴。
And you will experience that great spiritual awakening.
然后才回到蒙福的道路。
And you will return back to a path that of his grace.
我们一起祷告。
Let's pray together.
主耶稣，我们向你献上感谢。
Lord Jesus, we give thanks to you.
你不仅是拯救了我们。
Not only you have saved us.
你也时时地要我们不离开左右。
You have asked us not to depart from you.
一心倚靠。
Trust in you wholeheartedly.
能跟随你的脚中行。
And follow your footsteps.
谢谢你常常提醒我们需要有属灵的觉醒。
We thank you that you have remind us often to we need that spiritual awakening.
使我们的信仰不是空洞。
So that our faith is not foundation,
而是丰盛
but have the rich content.
不是不冷不热
It's not lukewarm.
而能够满有感谢
but full of thanksgiving.
谢谢主给我们的话语
Thank you God for your word.
祷告奉靠耶稣基督的圣名
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.